Today is May 3rd. It's Monday morning, 2021. I've already gotten quite a few comments on yesterday's shiur. And first of all, I just want to say Yomo took issue with what I said about Rav Shmuel Verna not traveling to Israel, not to go through Heathrow Airport. And Yomo told me after class that they're terrible portraits up there from Playboy magazine. I don't know if that magazine exists yet, but whatever. Ke'ilu, Ke'ilu, like
Yeah,
Playboy.
advertisements.
And I have to say, if that's true, then I would say we have to learn how to travel no matter what, keep our eyes down. But if it is true, how are you asa for a bar mitzvah boy and you let everyone else from Stamford Hill and Golders Green travel to Israel? Mimanav shach, either it's asa for all or it's mutter for all, but you can't take a kid about to be 13 and take away from him hanachat tefillin at the kotel. I'm curious, if I haven't traveled to England in about 10 years now, it must be. I was there for a long period, about 10 years ago, a scholar in residence in Hendon Golders Green near Yisrael Synagogue. But if anyone travels, I'm curious to know if that's correct. I mean, to me, it's shocking in an airport. At JFK, you don't have it. At Ludd, you don't have it. Certainly in England.
It's not
Okay.
everywhere, but
Yomo, if the kid has to hunt for it with candles, I wouldn't ask her either. Anyway, I stand my ground. On that issue, I still can't take to heart what Rav Shmuel Verna paskened. On another issue, I sadly have to be even stronger than I spoke yesterday. I saw the Makori Shon. My daughter brings me all the weekend papers, and I started to see Makori Shon on Friday, and it's just overwhelming. They're full-page advertisements, a fortune of money, beautiful advertisements, color, signed by Rabbi, among others, Rabbi Riskin and Rabbi Branda, and these advertisements essentially say, Ashrenu Shezachinu, that the Orthodox world now has full-time women working as full-time rabbis with no men whatsoever. I have to tell you, everyone, my own personal feeling, I cannot, I have to disassociate myself. It goes against the Torah that I received from my Rebbeim. Rabbi Riskin was a Talmud in my time. Rabbi Brander is after, he's younger. I taught his brother here in the Kollel. I taught his sister-in-law in Machon Gold. But if this is their opinion and they feel they're correct, I disassociate myself. Am I right? Are they right? We'll leave it to you to decide. Time will decide. All these, I'm writing about it right now. How do we know who's right? All right, I have a lot to say in it, but it's not for now. But I have to come back from any doubt I left about the article in Jerusalem Post, the front page article, that I don't believe what I see in print. Boy, I better believe it after what I saw in Makor Rishon on Friday. Okay, so that's in relation to yesterday's shiur. I do want to mention that we had the terrible funeral last night, among many other funerals. But when my wife and I looked at the names of all the 45 people, and it's blood mixing with blood. I mean, everyone is represented from Toldot Aharon, Satmar, Ponovitch, to the Hesder Yeshiva, but everyone is represented. And my wife right away caught the name of Donny Morris, and we know the family. I have to tell you, his grandmother is a granddaughter of Rav Lezer Silva, so that you can make the cheshbon yourself. But his grandmother is the daughter of Reb David Leib Silva. The Reb David Leib, of course, was the son of Reb Lezer, and this is already another two generations down. But all right, it breaks the heart. And Malka brought back the memory of Reb Moshe Tversky, but I said, all right, that was a terrorist attack. Here Yadenu shafchu et hadam hazeh, that we're not careful. And here I don't want to repeat what's on the radio, and they're interviewing this one and that one. In the meantime, there's an interview that was broadcast on TV, I understand, with someone who was in charge of all the arrangements, and he boasted that Aryeh Deri saved us. They wanted to stop everything, too many people, it's not safe, and Deri intervened. This interview was with him live about an hour before the tragedy. So I think I don't have any problem what God is asking from us. Everyone says they don't know. I think it's we should put our house in order, educate properly, and recognize you don't jump in front of a car. And even Yomom, who's lucky to be alive, and let me put it that way, he and Ellie, and God, I'm shaking when I think of it. Yomo, who argues with me that hishtatlut is not important, it's all bitachon, even Yomo doesn't jump off the roof and expect God to save him, or jump in front of a choo-choo train and expect God to save you. We have to live in a normal fashion. And this is, I can quote 1,000 sources in Chazal, and Rishonim, etc., Zukri Be'Rafu. Okay, just a few... Yomo, relax yourself, okay. What's your complaint?
It's not fair.
What's not fair? You always argue with me that the Ishtadlut is meaningless and bitachon.
I never said that. It's absolutely not true.
So what do you say?
The Iker is
bitachon, not Ishtadlut. And I disagree with you on that too. Rabbi Yisrael Salanta would make you stand in the corner for saying it. The Yikr is the Hishtadlut, and when you're quoting Rabbi Yisrael, when you finished all the Hishtadlut, then you have Bitachon. But someone to say Bitachon is the Yikr, not until you do the Hishtadlut. Okay, we can argue. Abaye and Rabbi had difficulties together, and believe me, Rabbi and Rabbi Zehra paraphrasing the Sunday Shir, etc. All right. I received a very wonderful letter from a dear Talmud, Bill Gvirtz, Dr. Gvirtz, and he many memories of Torah Vadas. But I'll tell you, I don't want to quote further. I'll tell you why. It was bitter machlekes there at times. And when you get involved in bitter machlekes, it overflows a la Panovich. But we don't have to know. Rakefet is honest. Don't accuse me of art scroll. I'm honest. I tell you there was bitter machlokes. To go into the details what they did to Rabbeim, Rashi, Yeshiva, Gedolei Yisrael, Talmidim are young and at times can be hot-headed. So we'll leave it at that. I received a correction on my shiurim and Dr. Joe from Avram Phillips, who taught in BMT at the tail end of BMT's existence. And I said that when the Reb spoke about Rabbaran at the Chichas Ma'idina, he said Rabbaran reminds me of my Zayda Reb Chaim. And I checked it out. I was incorrect. Rabbaran reminds me of my elder Zayda, the Beit HaLevi. He said the Beit HaLevi and the Chatam Sofer. That's what the Reb said. So I correct myself. It's not the grandfather, the great-grandfather. Then Rabbi Phillips writes to me that as far as he knows, the Rav would never compare anyone to Reb Chaim. There I have to disagree with you. I don't think it's the Rav who would never compare. It's Reb Moshe Soloveitchik, the Rav's father. What happened was someone came over to Reb Moshe and praised the Rav. And said to him, and I heard this from an eyewitness from my first Rebbe in Yeshiva, Rabbi Michiel Katz. Rabbi Michiel Katz said to me, and he praised the Rav to Rabbi Moshe and said, as Azevi Reb Chaim, quoting the letter of the Dvavraham, where the Dvaharim says, the spirit of Azevi, the Reb Chaim rests upon him. And Rabbi Moshe got very angry and started screaming, to Reb Chaim Nisht. To Reb Chaim Nisht. In other words, no one equals Reb Chaim. All right, be it as it may, Reb Chaim is Reb Chaim, Fogol Ben Koma Munach, and Mori Rebbe is the Rav for us, etc. I also want to mention here from my dear Talmud, Rabbi Zazak Nachman Shmayahu, he says in relation to Hasidim eating in the Sukkah and Shmini Atzeres, I would like to point out that in Chabad we only eat and drink in the sukkah the entire Shmini Atzeret. All right, Chabad, I call it Kavod. Noach, what do you do, Shavuot? What is it? In the sukkah? That's the family, or because of why you?
Family
minhag. Okay, so you see. Okay, so you see, Rakefet is right in demanding that the pleading with YU that have a Hasidic division. Am I right or wrong? No, and am I 100%? I have as much influence there as a dead fly. And there, and their people told me this. Some of the Rosh Hashivians said, "Not because I'm new. It's not 1790 today. It's 2022." You understand? A lot has happened. We've seen where we are with the Litvakin and with the Hasidim. All right. I also have to mention, as much as I praised Rabbi Eliezeri's beautiful article yesterday on conversion, there was an article against him by a Mark Lavie who tells him, "I'm an Orthodox Jew, but we should reject." You have to read the article to believe it. Time to reject Orthodox conversions. That we have caused such machleket in Israel, we don't accept Reform Conservative. Again, if halacha is binding, if it's divine, if it demands, commands obedience, we are limited. The word limited doesn't appear in the Western vocabulary. This is our tremendous challenge today. No one, the word limited. We can't be machalos Shabbos, we can't be treif, we can't be boil bilat asurot. We are limited. And here's a person who claims he may be a Shemesh Shabbos, but I would advise him to come to Griscolel and sit down and learn for 7 years, or go to yutorah.org and take out 49 years of learning. My nephew Zev told me something very interesting I didn't know. I mentioned about the wonderful women in Yeshiva Salanta who served the food and blessed the children. They were volunteers, my mother among them. And Zev tells me before his parents went on Aliyah, he was in first grade in Salanta, 69-70. There were mainly women survivors, right? Like in my time, outside of my mother and a few others, very few others, who fed us. I didn't realize they were volunteers. I also want to tell you that Mishpach magazine had an insert on Rabbi Isaac Scher and his relationship with Joe Kamenetsky. A week later they had something on Torah Mesorah. So I'm proud to say we are bringing kavod to people who well deserve it. Finally, let me suffer with you. When Nachum Lamb told me that the picture of the cover, that art scroll, I mean, to me, it's beyond comprehension that they took off the bow tie and put a tie in. So I have to tell you, I now have confirmation, Nachum, you were telling the absolute truth. First of all, here's a different picture of Joe Kamenetsky, Yosef Kamenetsky. He's the one right next to me. Take a look. What is he wearing? A bow tie. But more than that, I have correspondence from his grandson, Rabbi Yisrael Kamenetsky, who's the principal of Hebrew Academy of Long Beach today, Rosh Yeshiva, Hebrew Academy of Long Beach, and he tells me the picture that graces the cover of his book originally had him wearing a bow tie. Art scroll airbrushed out the bow tie and put in a necktie, thinking that it benefit the yeshiva image more. And I say to you, this is azafa dokenkeit. This is, it's just beyond comprehension. What is wrong if someone wore a bow tie? This was his style. I remember that's all I wore in the 60s, a bow tie, for one simple reason. I saved 2 minutes a day. To me, time is very important. Anyone was halt by learning. You know, I told you when I came in Aliyah, I had one desire in life, to know Kol HaTorah Kula. I've been trying now for 52 years since I came in Aliyah. And unfortunately, I have not succeeded. But any minute you can save, I absolutely say if we're B'nai Torah and have to wear ties, which a question of if you're allowed to wear ties, as you will see in next Sunday's class, but at least wear a bow tie. Don't waste time tying and untying a regular tie. I paskin la halacha, but imagine to brush out the picture. Finally, Rabbi David Twesky, I couldn't believe this, but now I have to believe everything. I heard of a fellow who had a little business from taking old wedding albums and touching up the family pictures so that the parents and grandchildren will not be embarrassed showing their albums to their children and grandchildren who might be scandalized by the short sleeves or low necklines in some of these photos. Yomo, you can have, you're an expert with the computer, you can have quite a profession. You'll be wealthy enough that one day you'll be able to endow the Gush campus in Kollel. All right, let us move on. Fascinating. I tell you, sometimes Ripley's Believe It or Not, you look at it and you can't believe it, but I can understand. Imagine, I remember in my time, there were pictures of volunteers, this is 46, 47, packaging food, care packages being sent to overseas to the survivors who were still in camps. They hadn't yet gone to Palestine or hadn't yet gone to America or Canada. They were still in camps. And I remember some of the women packaging were sleeveless. It was during the summer, and the women were sleeveless. And these were women working for Agudat Yisrael. So, all right, I would rather explain to the children, times have changed, we're on a higher standard today, and we don't have to rush out bow ties or put sleeves on the women. Okay. Now let's go further. We have a lot of fascinating material today. There's no question that Dr. Joe is the hero in the history of Torah Mesorah. The man was unique in that he was a graduate of Yeshiva College, the first class. He was raised the great devotee of Hapoel Mizrahi, which I don't go into the whole history, but Hapoel Mizrahi and Mizrahi were two organizations that later merged. I believe it was about 1954 when they merged. Bnei Akiva merged with Shomer Hadati, and ultimately that gives birth to the Religious Zionist Movement of America, or RZA, Religious Zionists of America. The question is, how could Dr. Joe get along with Torah Mesorah, with Mr. Mendelovich? And Mr. Mendelovich plays a small role because he dies a few years later, but it's all his idea. But the Rabbinic Advisory Board and all the right-wing yeshiva, I'm using popular language, and here we come to Rabbi Yitzchak Sher, and no one can appreciate that more than yours truly. As I said last week, as you heard me this morning, I have a lot of difficulty with what I saw in Makor Rishon. And I was raised like everyone else. We sat in front of the Rav with the Chilu Rechimu, and the Rav influenced my entire thinking. And, all right, the love of Torah, the love of learning, the Litvische Gestalt, I already had before I met the Rav. That was a result of my Rebbeim in YU and a result of Lakewood. But Ribbono Shel Olam, Lakewood left the great deal in me to be mother, to change, to the only spiritual leader. Very shocking to me. All right, you'll decide who's right or wrong. Time will tell. But halacha lemaisa, I can understand Joe Kamenetsky. He loved Reb Yitzchak Sher. Reb Yitzchak Sher loved him. There was a certain love. I'll never forget the Mashkiach. I think I've told the story before, but let me tell it again. I was once in the Mashkiach Som, Rabbi Yaakov Moshe HaKohen lesson, and his wife put down in front of us coffee and cake, or tea and cake, and there were a few of us were there, and I remember I made a bracha. What's the big chiddush? I have to make a bracha. I'm eating. I'm not a thief. And he says to his wife, Nema cook, Amerikanische Kinder, Wiese sein Makpe. Take a look, American kids, how careful they are. And there was that attitude that it was a miracle that American kids were embracing Torah, b'leif and nefesh. It was a miracle, because what was America? Money, success. Look at the Hollywood, look at all the songwriters. I mean, you go one by one by one, 90% was all Jews. Jews, many of them came from homes, from backgrounds. And look what became of them. And you take the odd couple, Oscar, was one of nine children from a frum family in South Philadelphia. I mean, I think his second wife already was a Goya. You can check it out. It's beyond comprehension. But Baruch Hashem, the light of Torah attracted. And this enabled Dr. Joe to understand the Rashi Yeshiva, to live with the Rashi Yeshiva. Now, what I said about his memoir, his grandson, Rabbi Kamenetsky, confirmed that what Dr. Joe told me, which I heard in my own ears, that he censored himself, and what my Talmud, Dr. Alan Blau, told me, that even when he censored himself, the Art Scroll Division that published it censored him even more. And Rabbi Kamenetsky, the grandson, confirms it, that his grandfather didn't tell it all, and they took out some stories as well. Now, when he went to work, and you got to remember, he's organizing that's your father coming in, tell him he can take his mask off. The rule here is you don't need a mask. According to the doctors, I can't catch it anymore, and I can't infect anyone, but no one has lived to be 120 since the corona. If I get to 120, I'll be more relaxed. But right now, I'm listening to the doctors. So, you see, Dr. Joe, you had to build everything yesh meyayin. If I can quote Mo Feuerstein, who was so close to Dr. Joe, two YU people who played such a crucial role, he said, we have to give birth to the baby. In other words, everything had to be organized. It's not like, for the sake of argument, Rabbi Bednash is now assisting Rabbi Miller, all right? Rabbi Miller assisted Rabbi Lichtenstein. The Kollel has a format. It exists. You know what you want out of the Kollel. You know what you're trying to achieve. You understand faculty, students. Torah Mesorah, you were beginning yesh me'ayin. You had nothing. And you have to give credit to Dr. Joe. He organized various divisions. For instance, curriculums. What do you teach? How do you attract teachers? He put people in charge. Parent organizations. In every yeshiva, I don't know how it is today, there was a parents-teachers association. It was called in my time, a PTA. Parents had a voice. And that's an interesting question. How much voice do you want parents to have? You have to, certainly they have to have a voice. They're running the school, they're raising the money. On the other hand, they're not the experts. Then you come into conflict. What do you do when the Rebbeim want to have an affair and don't want mixed dancing? You have a fundraiser. I mean, these were real issues. The parents, who their attitude was, look, we're doing something great. We're taking our kids out of public school. We're putting them into a day school. We're exposing them to people who don't speak English. Ich ken gut Yiddish. So lib das, was mein Rebbeim haben nicht gerade der Wort in Englisch. I told you, when I thought I was in the next world, I'm still shaking. I was speaking Yiddish. The Rav, where do I come to Yiddish? My parents were born in Harlem. You understand? I'm a real third generation American. My father played Sandlot baseball with Hank Greenberg. You guys don't even know Hank Greenberg's lifetime batting average. No, 313. How many home runs? 331. And World War II, now he was the first soldier to volunteer for World War II. You can imagine what would have been if not for World War II. But we're exposing them, Rebbeim, Yiddish, parents, sleep, what we just spoke about before. You're telling the kids the mother can't wear sleeves. No, can't wear sleeveless. What's wrong with sleeveless? My grandmother wore sleeveless. Everyone wears sleeveless. America, you can make a whole case. These are very delicate issues. You have to give them a voice. But there has to be a control. There has to be guidance. And he organized PTA, then principals. One of the most important part is Dibuk Haverim. Again, on a postgraduate level, a lot of this doesn't apply. In other words, let's be honest, there are people looking at me that stayed up all night to hear this share. I feel sorry for them. They could listen on why you Torah, but they tell me ain't a dumma shmiya Korea. On a postgraduate level, the teacher, you're coming to benefit from the teacher. Whatever, he's an expert in what he knows. He's unique. But when you go beyond postgraduate, collegiate, high school, elementary, as you go down the ladder, all these issues become more relevant because it's not that you're choosing the teacher, the school, the Rebbe. You have to go to elementary school. You have to go to high school. You have to go to college. There, how much influence parents, children, very important people come together. You talk over problems. Tovim hashnayim min echad, v'chutam ha'shulash lo yinatek. And this too, all this Joe Kamenetsky created. And you got to give him all the credit in the world. Olameinu, I still remember Olameinu. That was a magazine. Lubavitch, I bring into class when I used to speak about Lubavitch. You know how they began? They began with Pee Wee. Do you ever see the original Lubavitch comics? A little bit on Modani, a little bit on Davening, a little bit on Shabbat, and in back, a whole thing about a Jewish kid who's a baseball player, and it's unbelievable. But they had to catch the attention of the youngsters. Olameinu, I told you, my wife, Erev Pesach, she still has it with her Pesach things. She won a prize for a picture. I have two grandchildren who graduated Bezalel with honors, so you'll ask, how does it come to me? I can't even draw a picture of my crooked nose. But they inherited my wife's talent. Actually, I have more grandchildren, but not all of them went with their art. Some of, you know, they're in different fields, different PhDs, Baruch Hashem, MDs, etc. But many of them have art ability. And these two, but they inherited from my wife, but way beyond, they're unbelievably capable. And my wife won a prize, a Ramaz student won a prize. And all this, you have to give credit to Dr. Joe and the office he ran. And I think there's a message here that goes way beyond Torah Mesorah. Part of success in life is knowing how to pick right people. That goes with politicians. I think the greatest problem we have in Israel is Netanyahu's personality. He does not know how to get along. He's a very nice person. His wife is very special. I know people who know them, and they're considerate, and they have mitlaid, and they have sympathy, and they have humanity. But you have to know how to get along with your colleagues. And you see the enmity towards him by people who work very close to him. I don't have to mention names. You all read newspapers, know what's going on here. This is very important, to pick right people and to know how to get along. BMT, which God privileged me, changed my life. Ultimately, we changed the life I'm one of them who helped. We changed the life of hundreds of thousands for better. All of Israel, those that stayed in America, but wow, what a success story. How many institutions emulate BMT? And I think the greatness of Rabbi Moshe Horowitz was he knew how to pick the right people. In a million years, I was brought to Israel to work on the Judaica. And I went to work. I arrived in Israel. We came off the boat July 5th, 1969. They wanted me to start work one day later. I said, give me a week. Ribbono shel olam. I am in changing a total world. I'm from a big house in Maplewood, New Jersey to a little apartment in Merkaz Klita, Katamon Tet. So I started work July 12th. I worked. Months later, I get a telegram, Rabbi Horowitz, the Jewish agency wants to speak to me. You know, we didn't have telephones then. And he sought me out. I said, how did you know? He said, well, I know your brother. My brother did his public service at Walter Reed Hospital instead of the Army. He worked in the hospital and he davened with Whitey Horowitz. Whitey Horowitz was dean of the day school. And you talk about the Kollel, how the Kollel was formed. Bidiyevit, I have to, you know, if you've read Washington, Rakefet is honest in what he writes. Why you wanted a Kollel here like they wanted Chinese commando squad in Teaneck, New Jersey. But it was forced upon them because a dummy named Rakefet got the property from Mr. Gruss, and you don't want to offend Mr. Gruss. So it was a bidiyeved, the balkacha, a new amen. And I can understand why you, at that time, Dr. Belton was critically ill. The school was practically bankrupt. Who the heck needs an extension in Israel with worry and money, etc.? We were very fortunate that Rabbi Israel Miller fought for us. He was the only one who fought for us. You can check with Reb Dovid, you'll see what I'm saying. And Kollel begins. So they said, all right, Rabbi Miller, you have a son. Rabbi Lichtenstein, one day a week will come in. The students appointed yours truly. Once they appointed, the students appointed me. And as I'm telling you, you're going to be in the building and not teach? Many of them knew me from BMT. When I saw they appointed me, I said, did you fellas mind if I bring in Nechama Leibowitz? I brought in Nechama Leibowitz. She said, all right, I'll teach too. But the other, why you gave us a nothing at the time. You know, it didn't cost them much. Baruch Hashem. But this makes the school. And on a start, the Kollel's unique. But then you'll take Shalavim emulated BMT, KBY emulated BMT, the Gush emulated, all established foreign students programs. Occasionally you have to get together, you have to talk. You see what we do with the Abraham program, that they bring together the deans of all the schools' common problems. How do we produce? Now you have the problem Meron, the problem of Lo Aleinu Corona, what it did to us, the problem of is it safe? Can you send youngsters to Yehuda Bishomron? What about the problem of young girls, teenage girls, young adult girls? Do you fence them in? Do you let them roam freely? These are all delicate problems. No one is smart enough to do it on his own. You have to have etza, dibuk haverim. And this was Torah Mesorah, conferences, etc. Now, I want to mention Rabbi Rubin is going to be very happy because one of his classmates became very big in this aspect of Torah Mesorah. I'm referring to Rabbi Moshe Pasek. He was a Maimonides graduate, afterwards came to YU, and he was Yitzchak, that was your classmate, am I right? Yitzchak shaking his head, absolutely. His classmate, his whole life he spent in Torah Mesorah. He was involved, principal conferences, curriculum, all this. Dr. Joe stood on top of it, but he knew how to delegate responsibility. And this was his greatness. Now, another aspect of Dr. Joe's life, going back to what we spoke about a year or two ago, where did he get his start? Here's a kid who graduates Yeshiva College 1932 from a very poor family. And he has to go to work immediately. He doesn't have the luxury of going on for smicha. So he winds up in Jewish Center, principal of the Talmud Torah. Later, he winds up in Manhattan Day School, one of the founders, one of the guiding lights. he had to come up with curriculum. And his original curriculum became, which he engendered with Rabbi Dr. Leo Young, it became a source for Torah Mitzvah related to use. In other words, you got to remember curriculum, and here you have endless problems that at first glance you can't start to imagine. Why? Think of a day school in Teaneck, New Jersey, and a day school in Kalamazoo, Michigan. You follow? You're dealing with total different realities. What you can teach in Teaneck, what you can demand in Teaneck, the standards you can set in Teaneck, a kid in Kalamazoo, Michigan, won't even understand what you're talking about. And this is a problem which we'll come to in a few minutes, which actually haunts Torah Mitzvah in all its years of existence, including to this very moment. And here too, you had the golden hand of Dr. Joe. What you can do in Teaneck, you can't do in Kalamazoo. But remember, to bring a kid from Teaneck to become a Ben Torah, it's not such a great achievement. You walk the streets of Teaneck, people use the word, they went an aliyah to Teaneck. All right? Yours truly totally disagrees with the use of aliyah to Teaneck. But nevertheless, I understand what they're saying. You take a kid from Kalamazoo, Michigan, and turn him into a Ben Torah, that is an achievement. And here, I have to tell you, one of the people, and again I'm mentioning the name because Rabbi Rubin will have nachat, one of the people who worked in Torah Mitzvah, involved in the outreach, the fundraising, the principles, the curriculum, Rabbi Dov Lesser, Zichrono Levracha. Yitzchak, your cousin. Am I right or wrong? Yitzchak is shaking his name. And I can tell you about Rabbi Dov Lesser. At my age, I can reveal secrets. Rabbi Dov Lesser was a Maimonides graduate. His father was a prominent medical doctor. He was one of the Rav's doctors. Correct, Yitzchak? And the Rav was very close to the family. And he graduated Maimonides, and he's ready to go on to Harvard, and instead he goes to Lakewood. And you should know, am I right, Yitzchak? I have it right? No, I have it. What's at the Yeshiva College you went to Lakewood? I can't tell. All right, you'll explain later. But he wound up in Lakewood. That I remember distinctly. All right, that much of the story is right. And the Rav is very upset. And I remember the Rav saying, and the Rav loved him. He was very bright. Vas mit sein mit dem? Nacham is shulach. You know, what'll be with him? Lakewood, no college degree, no profession, no graduate degree. The Rav was very upset. Now, that was the Rav's viewpoint, and we all know it, and we all lived with it. And by the way, I totally agree with the Rav. In that sense, you can't just depend upon, even if you're going to be a Rebbe, but college gives you so much more understanding. You can take courses in education and psychology. It opens the world to you of thinking. I'll never forget my educational psychology course as a junior. It was the greatest course I ever took because every chapter in the textbook began with a real life situation and how do you approach it. And I later realized this is like Shelet and Shuvat. How do Shelet and Shuvat begin? When I went to graduate school and I studied with Dr. Lewin and I studied with Dr. Agus, I said, wow, no wonder I loved that course in educational psychology. But anyway, be it as it may, Rabbi Lesser found his place very beautifully in Torah Umisora. And there too, you have to compliment Dr. Joe. He knew who to bring in, how to utilize, and they developed a fantastic staff. Now, here we come to the heart of Torah Mitzvah, the heart of Dr. Joe, the censorship, the problems. Torah Masorah, come back to our initial lecture on Torah Masorah. Torah Masorah was very different. From the very start, it emulated Agudat Yisrael, that there's a rabbinic advisory board. Well, Agudat Yisrael, Moetzet Gedolei HaTorah, and on major issues, the rabbinic advisory board has to decide. Popular language, Dr. Joe says, and I'm quoting again from his memoir, Remarkable Encounters, beginning on page 93. Popular language, they were called the Rashi Yeshiva. Today, I think someone said to me they're called the Vad Rashi Yeshiva. The Rabbinic Advisory Board has forgotten R.A.B., but that's what it was called, at least until the 21st century. And here's where the problem begins. What are you talking about, Rashi Yeshiva? And here's the classic story we spoke about, Rabbi Huttner and Rabbi Simcha Kraps. And I don't have to quote any source. These ears heard it from Rabbi Simcha. And Rabbi Simcha Kraus, young Israel of Hillcrest, succeeded Rabbi Kowalski, was there many years. Today he heads up in Riverdale the international beitin to solve problems of agunat, women who can't get kitten. And I need not tell you, this beitin is caught up in a lot of controversy. Rabbi Schechter doesn't accept it. Rabbi Willick doesn't accept it. I've asked Rabbi Kraus, send me material in writing that I can look at and see what you're doing and how you're doing it, and then I can have an opinion. Until I see how you're dealing with it and what the sources are, I don't want to state an opinion. But if Rabbi Schechter and Rabbi Willick question it, this is very, very important to me. I have to see with my own eyes before I make a decision, as much as I personally am inanimate of Rabbi Simcha Kraus. He's a Talmud Chacham and a very fine person. But here you have the conflict head on. He winds up in St. Louis and he wants to organize a day school, and he contacts Rabbi Yitzchak Kuttner, his Rebbe, his Masmich, the person he idolized. And he tells Rav Huttner, I can organize the day school, but it has to be mixed. I don't have enough students. Whatever it was, 15 students. How are you going to build two day schools? And like the Rav in Boston, that's what the Rav said many times, that I had no choice. The Rav began, I think, with 5 students. And Rav Huttner told them, Yaharig v'yal yavar. Mix classes, chas v'chalila. Now, look what we're dealing with. If you don't have a day school, how many kids in the community are going to be from? There's a member of this class who's listening, Steve Bressler. Steve Bressler went to Talmud Torah in the Bronx, and he was always a from kid. But that's the exception that proves the rule. I came to East Brunswick. I was Scullin residence. And I was told in advance that a lady who's a grandmother many times over is so excited, I am coming. And she said, I made her from when I taught in Conquest Center of Israel, 1959 to 61, graduated college 59. You had to make money to get married. I was getting married 1960. And first year I taught in Englewood. The shul had just opened, had a Talmud Torah, and Rabbi Swift was rabbi, and Rabbi Witte was principal of the Talmud Torah. I taught there for a year, and the next year I taught already in Conquest Center of Israel in the Bronx, much closer to home, and I ran the youth service on Shabbat, and this girl, she came over to me, and gifts that I gave her in 1960 inscribed to her, and Taka, she became from, you don't know, the nachat I had. Now, how many of the students I taught in Talmud Torah in Englewood, in Concourse Center, later in Maplewood, South Orange, in the shul, I think I taught at least at the start, I taught classes in the Talmud Torah. How many of those kids became from? In a day school, a much higher percentage. You don't win them all, but a much higher percentage. Now, here you're talking about Rosh Yeshiva. Not one of the members of the rabbinic administration board, as far as I know, was a public Mizrachite, a religious Zionist. Not one. Not one. How many identified with Agudat Yisrael? The overwhelming majority. Many of them were members of the Mu'etzet Gedolei HaTorah Shel Taprit. Many of them were open card-carrying members, not just Agudat Yisrael, Mu'etzet Gedolei HaTorah. And here you're taking these people and they have to make decisions regarding Kalamazoo, Michigan. Do you understand where the problem begins? Do you understand where the censorship comes in? Many times they would jump at Dr. Joe and say, Wer bist du? A Yeshiva University graduiert an Amerikaner mit a doctorat from Columbia? Und du wettest uns sagen, you're going to talk to us? Who the heck are you? A lowly YU graduate with a doctorate from Columbia University? And he suffered. You see, there's a little bit he does mention. He suffered. But he kept the ship moving. And ultimately, you'll see some of the interesting questions and the decisions that were made. And here, you got to give the credit to Dr. Joe. He was the one who kept the ship moving. Now, with the Rabbinic Advisory Board, you have another problem. Originally, everything began on the east side. It's hard to envision. I remember I had my elder grandchildren. I took a number of them to the States for summers because Corona ended it all. But until 2 years ago, basically, I've been in the States every summer for many, many decades. All right, there are reasons why. I didn't waste my time there. But so I remember I took my grandsons, it has to be in the 90s, to visit the East Side. We went into MTJ and I introduced them to Reb David Feinstein, Zeichen Tzadik Livracha. There was still a little bit of Yiddishkeit left there. It's hard for you to conceive of what the East Side was when I was growing up. That's where you went to get your lulav and etrog, that's where you went to get your svarim. I still remember Professor Elman, Zeichen Tzadik Livracha, Yaakov Elman, Jack Elman, working in Rabinowitz, I think it was 30 Canal Street, the Svarim store, and then you had Yankel Goldman, Otsar Svarim. It was a different world. So, of course, Agudat Yisrael, its office was on the east side. Torah Mesorah, its office was on the east side. So at least the Gedolei Yisrael, the Rashi Yeshiva, they had to be at Agudat Yisrael a few times a month. You couldn't be on the Moetzet without coming into the office. The Agudas HaRabbonim was there. So occasionally you could catch them for Torah Mesorah. What happened later was Torah Mesorah moves uptown. More elaborate offices. And I'll let you in on a secret. The OU and Torah Mesorah, RCA, you wonder how they come up with these beautiful offices. So part of it is these buildings are owned by good Jews and they give them a break. They work out something tax-wise, you understand, there's a basic contribution. They don't lose, but Torah gains, okay? So they move uptown, they move to Park Avenue. So right away, this becomes a real problem. Do the Gedolei Rashi Yeshiva have time to come to New York, to come to the east side? maybe once a month, twice a month. But then, when Torah Mesorah is out of the area, you got a real problem. And a lot of the consultations were done, like the Israeli government, by phone. You hear they took a vote by phone. Yes, they had regular meetings, but they were few and far between. And by the way, this is a problem, for instance, Rabbinical Council of America, Rabbi Wolfish ran the show. If not for Rabbi Wolfish, there wouldn't be an RCA. Why? The rabbis are busy in their shuls. Today, Rabbi Mark Dratch, my dear student, runs the show. All right, today it's a little bit easier because of the computer. In other words, who would ever dream a time would come in Israel? No one believes me in America, but we have no more banks here. No, your bank, your SNF, your branch, my bank closed down years ago already. They moved me to a different branch. Rechavia, and even that branch, I can't get into the bank without calling, telling them what my problem is, and if they decide it can't be done by Yomo on the computer, then they'll make an appointment and they'll let me into the bank. Who would ever dream I have to transfer now heavy money to my grandchildren getting married? Who goes? Who what? Computer. Transfer. Call comes in. Your number, to be sure it's you, a separate code, type in the code. 1 second later, your account, the money is gone, your grandson's account, the money is in. What a world. So today it's actually easier with Zoom. Take a look at the corona. Had the corona come before we had Zoom, where would we be today? Take a look what Zoom with this is Minishamayim Sikunu. But this was Joe. You had to keep the ship running, even if you had to depend upon the telephone and catching the Rosh Yeshiva and making a meeting and supplying transportation and pleading them, because ultimately in Dinei Nefashot you must have eye-to-eye contact. I need not tell you, the Sanhedrin was built in a semicircle, so each Dayan should see the other Dayan. And there's a lot of truth to this. And I personally, I have a lot of trouble with the computer. In other words, I can't read people, read articles, read books on the computer. I tell Yomo, print it out. Sometimes people ask you a question, you need eye-to-eye contact. But all right, your generation you grew up already with a computer. You don't know your name. If not for the computer, you wouldn't know your name. You type in, who am I? And the computer gives you an answer, Baruch Hashem. All right. And here he writes about the Gedolei Yisrael. Calls mom that Rabbi Aaron Cutler was alive. He calls him, he was the lion of the Chabura. And here you have to understand, Rabbi Aaron was the shortest of all the Gedolei Yisrael. I don't know if he was 5'4", 5'5", maybe, I don't believe he was 5'6", maybe 5'6". Rabbi Aaron was a roaring lion. He could yell, he could shout, he took stands, he banged on the table. And Rabbi Aaron was Rabbi Aaron. Never forget the story with the Rav. I mean, I heard it from the people involved, but it's now online, it's in the computer. And with Castro, remember I told you with Cuba that they finally got Castro. Castro was not an anti-Semite, by the way. Be aware that the Castro brothers were not anti-Semitic. But they believed in communism and, you know, the socialist state. Finally, he agreed to let out Jews. And the flights were arranged, Jews who wanted to go out. And it turned out, they're flying out on Yom Kippur. Remember the story? And the Rav got the call from David Weingarten, who built your neighbor next door, was built by David Hannah Weingarten High School for Girls. Horev High School. What's next door, Meisha? Horev High School, Hannah Weingarten. That's the whole thing. A man gives millions of dollars, builds it in memory of his mother, And no one calls it Weingarten High School for Girls. It's Chorev, all right. Chorev, Chana Weingarten, who can pronounce it all? So they called the Rav. He called the Rav and said, Rebbe, can we take them out on Yom Kippur? And the Rav said, call me back in 2 hours and I'll give you an answer. He calls them back in 2 hours and the Rav gave him a heter. And I told you, Halacha L'maaseh, they didn't have to do it. It turned out it was an innocent error. People looked at a calendar and didn't realize it's Yom Kippur. When they explained to Castro it's Yom Kippur, he arranged for them 2 days later. So years later, David Weingartner meets the Rav at a wedding. And he says to Rebbe, why did you tell me to call back? And the Rav said to him, what do you think, I would pass in a shaita like that on my own? I had to call Reb Aaron Kotler. I wanted to hear his opinion. And Reb Aaron and the Rav agreed, based upon the Chafetz Chaim, to get Jews out of Soviet Russia, out of Soviet communism in Cuba, even on Yom Kippur. Okay, so he describes Reb Aaron Kolzman, that Reb Aaron was alive. He was the dominant voice. He was the dominant voice in Agudat Yisrael. He was the dominant voice in Torah Mesorah. It was very difficult to argue with Reb Aaron. More than that, and this is what the Rav said when they honored Reb Aaron in 56, and I call it to your attention now, Reb Aaron, his involvement in Agudat Yisrael and Torah Mesorah cost Lakewood heavy money. You can't go, a balabas gives $100,000. So he gave $100,000 to Agudat Yisrael. He gave $100,000 to Torah Mesorah. You can't go to him again. And it cost Reb Aaron heavy money that he would have taken for Lakewood. But Reb Zaron's attitude was, Klal Yisrael is more important than any specific yeshiva. And he said it many, many times. And the Rev praised him in his talk. And the truth is, this was Reb Aaron, Klal Yisrael. And this is fabulous. This is inspirational. When Reb Aaron passed on already, then it was interesting, two dominant personalities were Reb Yaakov Kamenetsky and Reb Moshe Feinstein. Reb Yaakov always pushed Dr. Joe, I'm paraphrasing what he recalls, always pushed Dr. Joe to Reb Moshe. He called Reb Moshe the Posek Hadar. And Ein Hachinami, there's no two ways about it. When it came to Psak Halacha, Reb Moshe was Reb Moshe. Igrot Moshe, I told you more than once, when the first volume on Or HaChaim appeared in the late 50s, we danced for joy. Why did we dance for joy? Because until them Simcha, whenever you wanted to quote Reb Moshe, his tshuvot was circulating Baal Peh, but you never could put your teeth into it. Suddenly we had the Or HaChaim volume. Oh, I'll never forget it. I remember then I told you, we went over to Rebbe, your cousin, you know, published, and the Rav was upset. What was he upset about? One shuvah bothered him, the one on liquid soap on Shabbos, that Reb Moshe Asir, and the Rav Matir. Today, everyone uses liquid soap. It's all over the place, right or wrong. I've never seen anyone not use liquid soap on Shabbos. But Reb Moshe was worried about Nolad. And I remember the Rav sitting at, he was sitting here, we were all around him after class. Das heißt nicht Nolad, er versteht nicht, was ist Nolad. He doesn't understand what Nolad did. Bubbles, you're creating bubbles. It's a Nolad. The Nolad comes in with ice cubes, too. It's also... But Reb Moshe was the Posek Hadar. Reb Yaakov already had more insight than most of the other Rashi Yeshiva. And there they explain, first of all, it's Reb Yaakov's personality. In other words, Reb Yaakov was more an ishalom, an encompassing individual. He could understand many facets of life. And part of it, there are a number of reasons why. First of all, it's your own personality. But number two, life challenges you. Rav Yaakov was a shtut rav in Europe. He was in the rabbinate. When you're in the rabbinate, you're a different type of person. And here I have to let you know on the big secret that the art scroll has a lot of difficulty dealing with, because too many people know this. But with the Meir Simcha and the Chafetz Chaim, when the question came up about Europe time and again, that you have to introduce some basic, the core curriculum into the Talmud Torahs. Remember, the kids grew up, you know the famous story of Rabbi Yechiel Yaakov Weinberg. Gentlemen, do you have knowledge or you don't have knowledge? Ribbono shel Olam, Shasim Paskim, you have to know clear. Do you know clear or not? I hope you know clear. Okay. Torah history, you have to know. Without that, you can't breathe there. So, you know, the Corker, Rabbi Yechiel Yaakov Weinberg was traveling back to Slabodka from his hometown. And he didn't know Russian. And he gets off the train and he asks advice. And they answered him. And he didn't understand what they were saying. Because of that, he missed the train. He had to wait another 24 hours. These are facts. You can check it out in Mark Shapiro's doctorate. You can check it out in Making of a Gadol. So that's how Rabbi Yechiel Yaakov Weinberg got involved in general knowledge. And he went on to become Rabbi Yechiel Yaakov Weinberg, rabbi, doctor, professor, rector of Hildesheimer, etc., quoted by a dummy named Rakefet yesterday in Shia. Remember or not, the 24-gun salute. 24-gun? 21-gun. Okay. Anyway, coming back here, the question came up about the government insisted the kids should know Russian, the native language, introduce it into the class, basic mathematics. We're living the same, Meshula, we're living the same problem today in Israel, living the same problem in New York with the election for mayor, you have the same problem. And the Chafetz Chaim was opposed. And Reb Meir Simcha used very strong words. He said to the Chafetz Chaim, you're in a little shtetl. You don't know what it means to be a rav in a big city. And Rabbi Simcha was in favor against the Chafetz Chaim. And this is a famous story that later the Chafetz Chaim quotes Rabbi Simcha in a Bir Halacha to show, to show that he had no charibel, how do you say that in English? He bared no resentment to Reb Meir Simcha for telling him off. I mean, these are legendary stories, but true. And the rabbinate, this is why Reb Yaakov Kamenetsky, he already was broader because he was not a Rosh Yeshiva in Europe. When he came to America, he was a rabbinate, came to the States, came to the Western world, he was a rav in Toronto. All right, he had a little yeshiva there, had a very famous Talmud, Zev Lev, Professor Lev, next door. It's all the result of Rabbi Yaakov. Rabbi Yaakov was different. And Joe Kaminsky writes that many times he saved him from the right wingers among the Rosh Yeshiva on delicate issues. That much Reb Yaak, that much Dr. Joe allows himself to write, and they didn't censor it. Baruch Hashem. Now, what was there? Now, some of these problems are real. Like the first problem, of course, we discussed in class, mixed classes. And this is a real problem. I went to Solanta. There was no question that Solanta was separate classes. SAR Academy, is it mixed or separate? Can anyone tell me?
Very mixed.
Mixed. So that's why I get upset if someone says to me, I went to your alma mater. What do you mean you went to my alma mater? Doesn't exist anymore. SAR Academy. SAR Academy bears no resemblance to Yeshivat Rabbeinu Yisrael Solanta. Mixed, wow. And all right, the question of mixed classes, look, I taught women for 31 years. I taught thousands of women. I had a lot of nachat at a very sad moment a few weeks ago. I told you the story at Sam Dershowitz's funeral. Noach, if I told you the story, stop me. A lady's looking at me. I'm sitting in a corner minding my business. I can't stand. I'm older. It's hard to stand. I'm sitting. I see this lady looking at me with tears in her eyes. And she says, "Are you Rabbi Rakefet?" I say, "Look, I'm Aaron Rakefet. I wasn't born with titles and I won't die with titles." I hate people who say, "Rabbi, doctor, professor." Ben Shalom, idiot. Aaron Rakefet, the name Aaron is nice enough. Hevi mitami dav shalaru. She says, "You saved my life." And she told me she was in the Chala, the foreign students program, and they were moving right wing and something, the women have to wear socks. And she said, "You were a normal Rebbe. You have no idea how you helped me, and I related to you." And she cried. She thanked me. And she says, I said, "What was your name?" She says, "You won't remember me." I say, "Tell me your name." She tells me her name. She almost fainted what I pulled on her. I said, "Tell me, you have a brother, a surgeon?" She says, "Yes." "He lives in Israel?" "Yes." I say, "You call your brother tonight after the funeral and tell him Aaron Rakefet says a big thank you." She looked at me. My grandson was wounded in battle in the last war. When they finally finished in Be'er Sheva, where they operated on him, because it's Azza to Be'er Sheva, they released him and they sent him up to Jerusalem, home. And he was assigned the army, lo aleinu, well organized. We've had too much experience with wounded in battle. A social worker, a psychologist, and a surgeon. Your brother was the surgeon. And your brother was so nice that after examining him, and maybe he knew I was his grandfather, I don't know, he gave him his personal cellular phone number, said, "Anytime you have a problem, if it starts to bleed, you call me immediately." I said, "You thank your brother." And this lady was just unbelievable, that moment in time at Sam Dershowitz's funeral. I asked her, "How do you come to Sam?" It turns out her husband davens with Sam's son. They're very close. They live near each other in Talpiot. But you see, I taught women. I was successful. But I could not... Could you imagine the opening of Gemara to a class of men and women sitting together, Petach Patuach, Besugyan Ketuvat? How can you teach that? You're dealing with Bia Kona, Hatchalat Bia, Gemad Bia. I'm sorry. I wouldn't teach that to women altogether. That's for a woman to teach women. I did lecture, I will say that in Machon Gold, I gave lectures every year on Tarek Mishpacha. And I met many women over the years who said, "Because of you, we've sanctified our lives. We go to mikveh." All right. Today I would say, and if I would be asked to give a lecture on Tarek Mishpacha for women, I would say, only if there's no woman who could do it. The woman, you know. All right, so then you come down. All right, Rebbe, what you're saying is right. But the first 3 years, the first 5 years, the first 6 years, you understand? Compromises were made all over the United States. And the Rabbinic Advisory Board had to go, and this was part of Joe Kamenetsky's influence, they had to agree. You can't do in Kalamazoo what you can do in New York. So you had schools were mixed 3 grades, 6 grades. Once you went through the first 6 grades, very hard to mix classes. Kids become sexually conscious, and you're already caught up in the sexual thing that is part of life. Thank God it's part of life, or none of us would marry. I quoted to you, go listen to my lectures on sex. I spent 1 year in sex and marriage working out a happy marriage. Every chazal dances before your eyes. You look at Eli, thank God he has Ariane, okay? And thank God Ariane has Eli. I have Nachat, Baruch Hashem. These were real problems. On a high school level, they never agreed to mix classes. And I have to tell you, I spoke with the Rav's own family, and I said, do you think Rebbe would agree, that your father would agree to mix classes today on a high school level? And they agreed with my thinking. You see, Dr. Belkin was able to get an offer. There was a big senior citizen's home in Washington Heights. They were willing to sell it to the yeshiva for $1. The neighborhood was changing. Senior citizens would not go to Washington Heights. I think they moved the home to Riverdale, if I'm not mistaken. But they were willing, they had assets, they were willing to give it to YU for $1 and bring Stern College uptown. And the Rebbe was opposed. I was a Rosh Yeshiva, I was a young kid, I was a Rosh Yeshiva. I sat in the room, I can describe 103. We all signed a petition that we would resign. The Rebbe was the first one to sign. I can tell you who didn't sign. Two people didn't sign. Rav Pelaya, Rav Yosef Weiss, that said we can't hurt Dr. Belkin. He was too kind to us. If anyone would find that petition today, you could sell it in Sotheby's for at least $100,000, if not more. I don't know what happened to it. I think Rav Lessen took it, and who knows where it is today, if it still exists. So I said, you see, your father was, why was he opposed? Because college kids are college kids. I don't want to be vulgar. Consenting adults, that's the term. Today you have in high schools consenting teenagers. Lo aleinu. How can you have mixed classes? The Western world has no standards. God have mercy. High schools give out prophylactics. You all, no chiddush. There were court cases. No, permitted. You don't want the kid to get a prophylactic, send him to a Catholic high school. No, under such conditions, this was a real problem. And generally, this was the outline. A much more difficult problem, and wow, this problem haunts us. You have a day school. And I'm paraphrasing Dr. Joe here. By the 50s, the 60s, the roaring Western world, the change in values, ethics, morals. Forget about sex. Drugs are all over the place. Why do you think Yomo, how did he become from? Very simple. His parents wind up emigres from Russia in Brooklyn, and they're frightened stiff to send them to the public school where drugs are available under every desk. So he winds up in a yeshiva for Russians. Is it true? Semi-true. Then he winds up with YU. Miracles, you have no idea. Yomo is one of a kind. Thank God he survived with Eli. So along comes a family. Their name is Goldstein, their name is Goldberg, their name is Shapiro. The kid is registered, everything fine. Then you find out his mother is not Jewish. No? This problem repeats itself. You go to Russia today, you have day schools in Russia. Russia today is no different than the United States on a religious level. I mean, I went back, what Malka and I saw, we can't, you know, for us, you go back, you don't understand, you don't understand what was, but we were there when it was. And, no, 30-40% of the kids are halachically not Jewish. What do you do with them? And now you get involved. I gave a shirim on Geirut for a whole year, many decades ago in the Kollel, maybe more than a year. Do we have a special responsibility to a kid who's new? What's the halachic term? Help me out. Mizera Beit Yisrael. Look at the Beit Yitzchak, Reb Yitzchak Shmelkes. It's Nat Lewin's great-grandfather. Famous tshuva. What do you do with these kids? Do you turn them away? Do you accept them? And if you accept them, do you try to convert them? Do you pressure them? Do you inform them? And there's another side to the coin. No day schools are self-supporting. It hurts. We have wealthy Jews. Some Jew just died in California. Gave hundreds of millions of dollars to museums, art. Read the obituaries. Steve Gross, I think Steve sent me an obituary. What you could have done with that money, give $500 million, an endowment fund from day schools for tuition. Soros, just think the money the man spends to eliminate Israel and to eliminate anything that is Torah and meaningful in religious Zionism. Ugh, what could be done with that money to perpetuate the Jewish people? So day schools are dependent upon federation. And this is all over America, including New York. No, the federation says, we will give you $10 million this year. But on one condition, you don't pressure children who are not Jewish to convert. It is harmful. It is embarrassing. It creates resentment. I mean, these are such delicate problems. But do you turn the kid away? It'll be scandalous. And then maybe we have an extra responsibility on top of the poskim. Seem to, I would say it's a much more unanimous feeling today. That ain't hachinami, if you know the Gemara and Yavama, daf mem vav, the whole sugya there. When someone comes to convert, you have to say to him, you stupid moron. You idiot. You have to use that language. I used it in the rabbinate. I know what I did. You want to convert to the Jewish people? 6 million Jews, man, woman, and child, butchered. And if you see they cry, convert them. Afopi came. Dafka because of that. You have to push them away. You have to be sure they're on. I can't do the whole sugi now, but you know what I'm talking about. Look at the Rambam, look at the Sarebiya Perikyut Gimel. So, a kid whose father is Jewish, ain't achinami. Have to be makarifim. It's interesting. Now, I got to tell you, in modern history, you take Lenin. What's amazing was Lenin left before the end of his life. He made a number of recordings. One of the recordings he made was against anti-Semitism. And Taka, he was not anti-Semitic. You should know the Russians later reissued these recordings. The only one they didn't reissue was the one against anti-Semitism. It's also an interesting comment. He had Jewish blood in him. Turns out he may have been Jewish. You take Elvis Presley, let's take a lighter issue. Elvis Presley was a Shabbos guy. He rented, there was a two-story house, I think in New Orleans. It was owned by a rabbi. the rabbi of the shul, he rented, they loved Yiddishkeit. Turns out, we now discovered Elvis Presley was Jewish. His grandmother, mother's mother, on the tombstone, they found the mug and tub and everything. Turned out he couldn't be a Shabbos guy. The rabbi didn't know. But you can go on and on. Elon Musk, I said to Yomo, this man is so brilliant, he has to have Jewish. But turns out, one of his grandfather's taco was Jewish. You see, there is something to the Beit Yitzchak. Zera Beit Yisrael. Bring them back. Bring them back. This problem is not an easy, soluble problem. And again, you can understand, if you weren't in the rabbinate, if you weren't in the rabbinate, these are difficult issues to handle. What do you do? So here I have to say, Dr. Joe says, they reached a very interesting decision. Tell me, when it comes to kashrut, who's in charge of the local slaughterhouse? The local rabbi. A rabbi in New York can't mix into what's happening in Reb Lazer's Silver Slaughterhouse in Cincinnati. Either you depend upon Reb Lazer and that's it. They reached the decision whenever issues like this would come up, they would check out who the local Orthodox rabbi is that they would be samech on, and they would leave the decision in his hand. And this was a beautiful policy because the local rabbi is sensitive to the entire picture. The yeshiva, the type of students, the money, the support, the federation. And they had to work with ad hoc solutions depending upon the realities on the ground. And I would say that halacha lemaisa, you do have to make clear to these children that they're not halachically Jewish. Today it's a lot easier because the state of Israel has been in headlines, the question of who is a Jew, what is a Jew, conversion. It's been on the front page of the New York Times time and time again. And it's a lot easier to make decisions. People know about it. You're not shocking them. But it has to be done with seichel, not publicly, quietly. And here I'll tell you one story that happened to me, Bididi Havi Uvta. And it's a hard story to believe, but this is the United States, this is the modern world. As I mentioned, I started teaching in 1959. High school, I'm the only person I know that has taught on in Talmud Torah. The only person I know was taught elementary school, high school, college, postgraduate. And the truth is, if you're a good teacher, you could teach on every level. He used to say about the Rav, when he came into a class of Maimonides, he had them so excited. If you're a good teacher, you can teach on every level. So here I am teaching Talmud Torah. And there's a president of the synagogue. And this is an Orthodox synagogue. And a year later, I couldn't make this up, Binyamin, if I wanted to. I end off the class with this story. A year later, I'm sitting in the Beis Medrash, the Harry Fischel Study Hall, the main academic center of Yeshiva University, the only Beit Medrash at that time, and Rabbi Melech Shachter, the father of Rabbi Heschel, comes into the Beis Medrash. Arnold, I need a beitin for Geirut. Do you have a half hour? And I say, fine, want to see Du Shemesh. Pulls me out, another student. We knew him, I knew him very well. I was a Ben Bida, Heshi and I, his sister Sarah. We all grew up together, my brother Lenny. And we go around the corner, Audubon Avenue, the mikveh. And I was lucky I was young. If I'd be old, I would have had heart failure on the spot. There is the president of the Orthodox shul where I taught. His wife and children are converting. They looked at me, I looked at them. Wow. Saw the Geirut. You know, they're underwater, they have to answer, they're in the water. Do you renounce any belief in Trinity? The whole, like a Geirut should be. Do you accept? Do you accept this, accept that, etc.? And then you have to, they have to go under the water, you peek for a second, there's a mikveh lady there. Walked out, shivering, shaking. Got hold of Rabbi Dr. Melech Shachter, who was my guide in the rabbinate in many shimush, halacha l'maisa. And I said, Rabbi Shachter, what's the story? And he told me, this guy, raised in New York, became frum, and he's married to this woman who was absolutely Jewish as far as he knew. Father was Jewish, last name was Jewish, everything was Jewish. At that time, there was the tremendous issue in Israel of Brother Daniel. You know what I'm talking about, Brother Daniel? The Franciscan monk who claimed citizenship as a Jew because he was born Jewish. But after World War II, he became, maybe his life was saved in the church, he became a monk. And he arrives on the boat to Haifa in the clothes of a monk with everything, the tzelem. And he there went all the way to the Supreme Court. I don't want to talk further because it would take me an hour. That decision of the Supreme Court destroyed the state of Israel afterwards. So you have to work hard to keep it going as a result. Challenges here. So the New York Times had big articles about it. And suddenly this Jew is reading the article and it hits him. You're only Jewish if your mother is Jewish. The girl he's married to, her father is Jewish, her mother is not. Follow me? And contacted his rabbi. Rabbi Shachter was then active on the Beit Din, RCA. Somehow it reached his desk. And he did the conversion. And this is Zerah Beit Yisrael. For all I know, these children today are great Yirei Shemayim, Talmidei Chachamim. Who knows who their grandchildren are? We're talking with these children today should be alive and well. Their grandparents many times over. What a delicate question. No black and white answer. But here the rabbinic authority board let the local rabbinate, again, when they say local rabbinate, it had to be someone that they depended upon. Here probably Dr. Joe's opinion carried weight. He's a good YU graduate. He's a good Chaim Berlin graduate. Epshalas Mochalav. We can depend upon him. But this was Torah Mesorah. To reiterate, all right, I hope I've done justice to the material today. It's recreating an era, recreating a man, recreating even the Gedolei Yisrael. There's a big difference. This is why Dr. Joe, remember we spoke about Reb Yitzchak Sher last week, but he also loved the Rav. What was unique about the Rav and no other Rosh Yeshiva could equal him in this. He was a simple, plain rabbi in Boston dealing with kids who knew little about Yiddishkeit. And they used to keep Maimonides open, Cholam Moed Sukkot. Do you know why? So the kids should eat a sukkah and take a lulav and etrog. And the rabbi, I used to hear stories, told me he would come into a kindergarten class and show them basic Yiddishkeit. And see, the Rav had that ability. Rav Aaron Kotler never dealt on that level. Rav Moshe never dealt on that level. But and this is why. The Rav with Chinuch organized Maimonides. A day school, kindergarten up. Today, Maimonides, a major institution, but to organize, to build, to interact. This too made Dr. Joe, who had never studied with the Rav. He was a Talmud when Rav Moshe was the Rosh Yeshiva. He was a Talmud in the Yeshiva. He never studied with Rav Moshe either. He never reached that level. But with the Rav, they spoke the same language. The Rav could understand. There was that total interaction and total interconnection. So to reiterate, all right, it's not as explosive today as yesterday's shiur. Baruch Hashem. I still can't. Dr. Rabbi Grinstein sent me a big tshuva of Rabbi Avadji Yosef dealing with exactly the same problem. Do you tell the father-in-law that you committed adultery with his wife for 3 years running? So I have to look at the tshuva. I have to see how he comes down with the Noda B'Yehuda and Rav Shlomo Vazna and Rav Shlomo Fisher. Rav Dov, it's the other brother, the other Rabbi Fisher, and the Divrei Chaim, your family played a big role in yesterday's shiur, the sons of a Rav. Got to see what Rav Avadja has to say. But all right, not every shiur. Next week's shiur, one of a kind. I'm dealing with the Chatam Sofer, but then I'm coming back to Rav Menashe Klein. And it's one of those Shirim Simcha where I would charge to the IOU list. But after Corona, no charge, but it's worth 36,000 shekel dollars linked to the shekel to the IOU list. How Rav Menashe Klein begins the tshuva. One of a kind. Take my word, Noach. And then we got to deal with it. We got to deal with the Menashe Klein. We have to deal with his vision. And then we have to deal with Halacha Lamaisa if Eli's allowed to wear that shirt, which is not much different than the shirt the Rebbe is wearing. Same too, Binyamin. What do we do today? All right, we're not totally finished, but we're on the way to Torah Meso. We still have to deal with a little bit more. And we have to deal with Rabbi Yaakov and his relationship to Dr. Joe. And then I'm going to end off this part of the series with a contemporary document that brings Torah Masorah right into this room, 2022. Do you know why is it 2022? Absolutely. A Talmud Chacham shouldn't open his mouth. Ezehu Chacham, what did Chazal say? Pika. Haro'eh et hanolad. You don't open your mouth in 2021 without thinking what will be 1 year from now in 2022. And that's why I have a big problem with those women, a woman rabbi, and they're boasting what we have achieved. And what are we doing? Where are we taking Klal Yisrael? And we're removing ourselves more and more from the Haredi world. You know, whether we like it or not, the Haredi world is here to stay. I always get upset with these people that find so much fault with the Haredi world. All right, they have their problems, agreed. But Ribbono Shel Olam, we don't have problems? We're a total success story? I don't think so. Look what YU is going through today with the lesbians and the homos, the queers. I don't know, if I was a queer, I wouldn't boast about it. Queer is like a title of cover today. All right, we can't complain. We have to be positive. achievement, but we have to call a spade a spade. All right, time will tell. Noach, it hurts me when I have to differ my thinking from Rabbi Riskin and Rabbi Kenny Brander. Believe me, it hurts me. All right, I have Rabbi Przemski on my side. Baruch Hashem, there's a Talmud. We understand each other well. You know, with Rabbi Przemski, I yet knew his great-grandparents, and I've met grandchildren. So, Baruch Hashem. All right, we did what we did. We took the Rabbinic Advisory Board. We took the good appointments. We set the stage for next 2 weeks, 3 weeks from now, Rabbi Tarragon, Dr. Tarragon, Professor Tarragon, remind me, I just gave him smicha again. There are a lot of Rabbi Tarragons in his family. It's okay. It's osmosis. Mori Tarragon reminded me that that next week is Yom Yerushalayim, and the week after is Shavuot. So we don't have any classes, not Sunday, not Monday, obviously. But the week afterwards we'll pick up again, and that'll be our next class. We'll come back here to what we're doing. And next Sunday, Be'ezrat Hashem, class is as usual. Are there any questions here in the classroom? Yes, Ellie.
Yeah, I just wanted to tell you, last year when I was in Kiev, so almost everyone in Russia, like, is not Jewish.
Right, right.
So we visited a yeshiva in Podol, which is the neighborhood there.
Right.
And the Rosh Yeshiva explained to us, look around this room. It's like every single one of this room is a ger. Every single guy
there
is
a ger. Right, right. No, this is, with the Russians, this is a very big problem in Israel. And here, because they're so large in number and have been so brainwashed by Haaretz, and the leftists, and Lieberman, there's no need for them to convert. And they're totally at home. But I have to tell you, that's the general picture. We know the problem. Nevertheless, there are among them unbelievable Gerei Tzedek. And there's one that was written up in a memoir of the chief rabbi of the army, Rabbi Weiss, who was chief rabbi at the time, the pullout from Gush Katif. He had a lot of Atmos Nefesh. I know him personally. I worked under him. There's certain things I did which I can't talk about, but if it ever becomes public, you will say 50 years from now, I was very proud to have known Aaron Rakefe. Ellie, you would be very, very proud. So Rabbi Weiss was once on a Beit Din, a girl from the Ukraine, Dafka. She was a soldier, and she took their program in the army for Geirut. I'm going to cry. He cried. And when it came before the Beit Din, they asked her why she wanted to convert. And she gave a 3-minute speech that Diana were pouring tears. She spoke about her grandparents, her father's parents, the generations before her. And she realizes that they're pleading with God there should be continuity in the family. And she said her coming in Aliyah, her serving in the army, her observing Shabbat and Kashrut, she said, I now have come home to my land, to my people, to my Torah. Well, you can't say it any better. And a person like that marries, has children. I don't want to go further. My brother and I, do you know how many great-grandchildren we have? The two of us who live in Israel. We don't know, in America there's also a flock, because there it's a Lakewood crowd. Also my family, all that I made from. I made everyone from. Everyone. So, you know, many. I'm not going to mention the number, but we don't have enough fingers and toes and nose and eyes and ears and that's me way beyond. And my brother already, thousands will be. Kanai Nuri has one daughter, 13 children, and each one, and these are serious kids. Either they're learning in a serious learning or serious officers in the army. It's no play there. It's Rav Mordechai Eliyahu's crowd. Kanayin Hara. Morty, can you open it to the world if there are any questions? I'm watching the clock. We have to clear out soon for Rabbi Bednash. But I have a whole room in I want you to know I have a whole room in front of me. I hope they'll let back outsiders, but I don't think this term. Yes, Yitzchak, go ahead.
Okay, as far as Stephen Lesser,
right.
He is my cousin.
Dov Lesser.
He graduated in Maimonides, and while he was studying in Maimonides, the Rove had him as a private student.
Wow.
And then he went to Harvard, and he got accepted to Harvard Medical School.
And that's...
So instead of going to Harvard Medical School...
He went to Lakeland.
He got a deferment for a year, and he went to Lakeland.
Right.
Then he got a deferment for a second year, and never went back... And he stayed in Lakeland.
And he worked for Torah Misora. Now...
That I did not know. I knew that he lived in Lakeland, and Moshe Pasek, we were classmates to only three boys in our class. Moshe Pasek, Enoch Millen, and Yitzhak Rubin.
Wow. And all... Hey, we're hearing...
And each one went into the robotics or... Enoch Millen is now, I think, in Columbus. His wife, Rachel, is a Jewish scholar.
Right.
So, and the influence was Rabbi Simon, who was Shanghai, and Rabbi Wolfenbund, who was a graduate of Dachau.
Right.
Is this possible with one S or two S's?
Yitzchak is asking...
Is this possible with one S or two S's? Is it possible with one S in Long Beach?
I don't know, but appeal, yeah, maybe two S's.
Two S's, there was someone in YU who was Lubavitch, who was barred.
That could be part of...
P-A-S-S-I-C-K, the other one is P-A-S-I-K.
Yitzchak, do you know Rabbi Lesser? What did he leave? Where are his children, his grandchildren?
I don't know. He died young.
He died young.
I really don't know much about it.
Wow. I know he was your cousin, and he was the son of a doctor, so I had that right.
His father was a cardiologist.
Wow.
Very active. He said his father used to give, when Rabbi Kulik was on vacation, the rabbi of he would give the Gemara class on Mincha Meir on Shabbos.
Instead of Rabbi Kulik. Wow. No. Well, and you
so
should...
he came from a very, very Erlich family, a very full family. His grandfather was my mother's uncle.
Wow. In Lakewood, too, there was a story like that. The doctor of Lakewood, his son became a Lakewood yeshiva boy, a tremendous Talmud Chacham, who later published... He's not alive, also died young. He later published the Baron Cutler's Mishnat Aharon. He is one of those who edited it and published it. Kala Kabod.
I would be interested to find out more about Moshe Pasek, because we were friends, and we were even class at Yeshiva College. We were roommates for a year.
I remember him very well. All right, if someone's listening and knows Rav Moshe Pasek, please tell him to Yitzchak Rubin would love to hear from him. And they can reach us through yutorah.org.
If it's P-A-S-I-K, I can get a message.
No.
It doesn't sound like it's the same
person.
P-O.
P-O. It's not the same one.
No.
Unless they change it. Rabbi, I know the family from Memphis who had Elvis for the Shabbos Day.
Wow.
I was eating at their house once, at the son's house. His sister lives in the Boston area. She was over, and he pulls out a picture he found of the two of them sitting on the stoop as kids with Elvis.
Wow. No, Elvis...
Make a copy of the picture, and you can sell it at Sotheby's and buy a house.
Kala kavod. If you make a copy of the picture, I'll pass it on to a grandson, Kanayin Hara, to buy a house. Yeah, go ahead. Mark?
Rabbit?
Yeah.
Regarding magazines in Europe, when I was in the army in Germany, I was surprised, shocked. In Germany and France, normal places that sell magazines, they could have magazines that in the United States would have certain pictures on the inside of the magazine, but in some places in Europe, those kind of pictures would be on the cover. So it could be shocking.
Okay, so you're supporting, you're coming down in favor of Yomo and Rabbi Werner against your Rebbe, and your Rebbe is happy.
It's not just the airport. If he lives in London, he's going to see that.
I understand that.
The airport is the least of his problems.
Right, but let me end off the class and tell you one story out of Russia. Here we are in Leningrad, in the home of Isaac Kogan, the famous Yitzhak Kogan, one of the great refuseniks, what that man did for Torah, and they bring him back to Russia to build a shul and what he built in Moscow today. But I'm not mad at him for going back because he has a slew of grandchildren and great-grandchildren living in Israel. So, all right, he went back, but the heart of the family is here. Anyway, so we got to talking, and he says, Russia has one advantage over America. And he quoted the Gemara that you have the Yetzer Hara in the world, but you have the solution in Torah. He says, this is why in America you have so much pornography, because you can learn Torah and overcome it. He says, in Russia, when no one can learn Torah, you see what our problems are here. But at least we don't have pornography. And say what you want, under Putin, I don't know which type of Napoleon he is, going back to my words on Napoleon, but one thing about Putin, why you would not have to close down in Russia or face legal action because of their attitude towards the homos, etc. So you got to give Putin a little bit credit there. Baruch Hashem. All right. Again, I want to remind everyone, next Sunday shir is normal. Monday is Yom Yerushalayim. The week afterwards is Shavuot. And we pick up again the week after Shavuot. Until we meet again in health and happiness, thank you so much for your participation, for your encouragement. Yitzchak, for your edification, I have another bag. I'm preparing material for you, and in there is what you want that I just xeroxed it this morning, and it's in the bag already. I'll get it to you in due course, but it's awaiting you. Until we meet again in health and happiness, and I want to thank everyone in front of me again. You've given me strength, because it's been a very difficult period with the great tragedy in Meron, and listening to all the fools talking on the radio and what is being said. That's plain and simple what has to be done. But all right, I hope the people who are leading us, Hashiva Shoftenu Kirishona, V'yotzayach Kavatchila, and that says it all. Until we meet again in health and happiness, Das V'danya.